So today we're talking about spiritual warfare, and I was just going to ask you, Christy, have you had any experiences with like demons, stuff like that?
I do feel like I've had experiences where I may have encountered a demon. Now, this is going way back years ago, but one of my close friends, when I was growing up, she was living on her own and she had an apartment. And she started to tell me these stories about how she would wake up in the middle of the night and she would see a dark figure all the time in one of the corners. And then she also began to wake up and see a dark figure in one corner and a figure that was like very tall and full of light on the other side of her. And I thought, wow, that's such a powerful thing. But I used to go visit her like every week at her apartment. And one of those visits, a few weird things happened to us. For one thing, I always wore a little mustard seed necklace. You know, the mustard seed symbolizes Christ. And if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. So I was there, and then the little mustard seed just fell off of the necklace. And we just had a few different weird experiences. And she was like, do you see it? Do you notice what I'm talking about? It's like something strange is going on. She was with her family a few weeks later and she took some pictures in a theater. And they just were taking like selfies. And this is probably 2014, 2015. But she was taking some pictures and there was this very weird entity in the background. And it appears in two pictures. And the face is slightly different in both pictures.
Weird.
So, and just something about it when you look at it, it's so strange. Something is just so strange about it. But they didn't even notice the pictures initially. It wasn't until they went home and one of her sisters posted the pictures on Facebook. And then somebody, I think, like wrote and said, "Hey, what's that in the background?" Because it was just so like blended in, but you can see it really well. I still have
Weird.
those pictures. But anyway, so we really started to think that something was going on and that she was kind of like having some kind of experience that I think was demonic.
Definitely.
So we looked up how to cleanse her apartment and we got holy water and we did a whole process of going through each window and each door and saying a blessing and drawing the cross. And it was very weird, but right after that, there was just this strange feeling of relief and like almost like just some kind of a heaviness was gone.
Just lifted.
And yes, and we both felt it. And so I've had a few different experiences like that in my life.
That's
And
so strange.
it really, I mean, it is. It's very like kind of otherworldly. It's those kinds of experiences that I think can help increase a person's faith, not just in what is good, but sometimes we also have to know that there is evil. And I think sometimes part of learning that those two things exist, it helps you to have that discernment of spirits that is so often talked about. And that is a gift that is given to some people and Holy Spirit gifts and things like that. And I know that we've talked about you having a gift as well, like with speaking in tongues.
I really never like asked for that or seeked it out. It kind of, we started going to a new church, and it's a non-denominational church, but it is spirit-filled. And we had a prayer night because there's certain days I'll just have like prayer. And when we were praying, we kind of sat or around in the circle, and everybody would just kind of pray out loud together though. So we were praying out loud, and when I was praying, I just felt like my mouth, stuff was coming out that didn't make sense to me. And I stopped myself. I actually had to just stop. I closed my mouth and I was like, what is happening? And then it happened to me again. And then I stopped it. But after the little service we had, I was talking to my pastor, and it's weird because he was saying that he felt like something was coming upon me. And then I told him, I said, well, it's so weird you say that, Pastor, because I said when I was praying, I felt like, I started having these words come out. It didn't make any sense. They weren't words, just like vowels and stuff. And he's like, you know, Heather, that's the Holy Spirit. I'm like, what? Like, he's kind of like, really? And then he was like, you should really just start practicing. He said, it's like, go home in your personal time with God, when you're praying, just ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. And he said, it will happen more and more.
Yeah.
So ever since then, it's kind of like, I have had that, and it has become easier. It's not something, though, that I could just randomly do. For me, it's more like I have to really be in a place of deep prayer.
Yes. Well, that makes sense, because that would be like you using that gift. Mm-hmm. So if you're in kind of that deep prayer, and you, a lot of people have talked about, like, what is the point of speaking in tongues? Mm-hmm. I've heard that before. And like, maybe you're speaking in angelic language. But one thing that strikes my mind when I hear about speaking in tongues is how we have so many like mantras during meditation. True. And you have like, and you have all of these things that have like healing powers or different things. So what pops into my mind is that sometimes we're trying to create like that frequency that is necessary for things.
It's very true.
I wonder if maybe that might be kind of like one of the roots of what causes that.
It very well could be. I mean, and we do have a spiritual realm, and of course they're not going to talk like us, just like all languages are different and sound different. So it's like, you can't expect a spiritual realm to sound like English.
Yes, whatever. Absolutely.
So it's like, you have to take it from that. And, you know, speaking of the spiritual realm and stuff, I think everybody is having this spiritual awakening, like we've talked about.
Yes, there. I think there's a huge spiritual awakening going on. And like we were talking about the Olympics earlier, because I know that that's a big thing that a lot of people are talking about, especially if you're a Christian. And if you're not Christian, then there's a lot of arguing that, oh, it's meant to be symbolic for the Feast of the Gods, and it was meant not to have any kind of hatred toward Christianity. But nobody's believing this. Nobody buys this, because it's ridiculous is, you yes. know, the main reason. But what were your thoughts on it?
It was interesting just seeing that, and just kind of watch, like, I didn't watch it when it initially happened. I started hearing about it, so then I went back and watched all the things. And for me, it's like so out there. It's like how they said, you know, like they're saying, oh, we didn't mean it like that. No, you meant it like that. And whoever thinks that, that's a lie. That is a lie from the enemy. And I was thinking, you know, it's like, is this a foretelling of end of times? Like, is this something like before the Antichrist comes out? Because it's kind of like they said he will mimic what Jesus does. He's, you know, he's a counterfeit. He wants to do everything like Jesus does. So it's kind of like, is this his supper? Like, because it's like, you know, isn't it weird that like Jesus is, you know, crucifixion and resurrection, right before that, it was the Last Supper.
Yes, I really agree with your line of thinking.
So it's kind of like, is this just the symbolic of him coming out? Is he going to come out and say, here he is? And then also like the white horse or the pale horse, whatever you want to call it. And some people can argue what they think about it. But for me, it's like, here's this pale or white horse coming, and all the nations are behind him.
Yes, I think you're right on the, I mean, that's kind of the path that I'm taking too when I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it as symbolic, and being symbolic or, you know, that's a big thing to do with Christianity. So obviously, yes, Satan's going to mock it. He's going to have his symbolism as well.
Yes, of course.
And what's really weird to me is that the gods that they chose to represent at that table, of course, I found the child very offensive. The children are just thrown in there. Mm-hmm. And the child is very close to a man who had a wardrobe malfunction. And his, for lack of, you understand.
Yes.
I mean, his testicles are hanging out. It's ridiculous.
It's infuriating, but
it's really, really, to tell me that that's not on purpose, I'm just not buying it.
No.
And to have him near a child and to have this entire table representing these different entities, and then the man in blue is supposed to represent Dionysus, which is oddly enough, we talk a lot about how we believe that these ancient deities are tied to the fallen angels.
Yes.
And they're tied to the Nephilim.
Mm-hmm.
And I really truly believe that. And whenever we've been doing research, the strange thing is that Dionysus has come down to me as the main one that I think is connected to the Antichrist or connected to that Satan serpent figure. Yes. And there's a lot of reasons to that point that direction. People have made a lot of connections between him, his story, and the story of Jesus
mm-hmm.
for years, going way back. And another part is that his whole thing is like ritual madness, and wine is like his symbol and drugs. Mm-hmm. And they had like this mysterious cult where these women would follow him off into the woods, and just very, very strange things were done. And so when I'm looking at it, the fact that that's who they chose mm-hmm. to sort of represent, and he's on the table, kind of like they're going to eat of him.
Mm-hmm.
And that reminds me of the Last Supper, where Jesus says, drink this wine of my blood,
exactly.
Break this bread and eat this as my bones mm-hmm. or my body. So that's what it actually really goes into detail to yes. just make a disgrace. And I wonder, I go back in my mind and I think, again, is this some type of material that is made to incite Christians or to incite anger? Are they trying to get, do they want that bad reaction because maybe they want war when we don't know what's going on?
Yeah.
And then there's also this part of me that feels like kind of like the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. I feel like some of us we have to begin to notice these things.
Yep.
Recognize them,
yep.
and then we've got to turn away.
Yes.
France is the number one tourist stop in the entire world.
Yep.
They live off of the tourist dollar.
Mm-hmm.
We can't keep supporting these people.
No.
So if they want to disrespect us as Christians, we don't need to enter their land anymore.
And the thing is, most people don't know, they want to go there because they think it's all romantic. Yeah. It's just but they hate Americans. They think they're so much better than Americans. I've actually had, I know family yes. members that traveled there years ago, and they said they would never go back to mm-hmm. France. They said they were the rudest
mm-hmm. people.
As soon as they found out they were Americans, I guess they probably associate Americans and Christians. But I'm like, why would you? Don't go there and give them your money.
Yes. And I've always wanted to go to Paris. It's always been like a great dream of
yes.
mine. Until I started to read a lot more mm-hmm. about the fact that they actually have a place set up at the embassy, like for a tourist, because there's an actual condition of when you go to Paris, and it's so depressing, and it's not at all what you imagined. Whoa. Especially a lot of like Japanese tourists, they suffer from this. There's a name for it. You'd have to Google it.
No.
But they have to like, it's a sort of depression that takes over them because they've spent all this money and they went there, and it's so depressing. But anyway, yeah. So it's just like one of those things. It reminds me again of like Sodom and Gomorrah, and when I think it's Lot's wife turns and she looks back and she turns to the pillar of salt.
Mm-hmm.
And some of this stuff, we really are going to have to start showing that we will not accept it. We have to turn away from it.
That's a good point. Yeah, you can't just say it. You have to act on it.
Yes.
Because it's just like a child. You can tell them something all day long, but until they have consequences, mm-hmm. they're not going to do what they're supposed to do. And talking about like Sodom and Gomorrah and all that, there was another part of the Olympics opening ceremony. I don't know if you heard about this one, but it was basically the man. There was two men and a woman in the library,
mm-hmm.
and the man and the woman started to get intimate,
mm-hmm.
like do intimate things. And then the other man walks up and starts to become intimate, and they close the door. I was like, why? And what is the meaning of that? It's so odd.
I know. And to think that this is supposed to be a worldwide family event that is supposed to bring the world together.
Exactly.
And the person, I mean, I don't know how true this is. I've looked into it a little bit. So far, it appears to be true. The person who helped craft this whole thing is a type of Satanist.
I believe it.
And so we just really have that discernment of spirits. And they're talking about inclusivity and diversity, and they want to be inclusive. They want to be diverse. But here's the thing. If you really think about it, you're really getting into this group. The majority of atheists, which I'm going to say that's the majority that is not going to be at all bothered by that display.
Exactly.
The majority of atheists are white men. Mm-hmm. The vast majority. And the largest growing population of atheists are young white men. So, and if you look at, you know, we're talking about diversity here, the largest group per capita of Christians are black women. So who are you really, you're being so inclusive.
Yeah. Who are you representing?
Yeah, really? Exactly. So it's like, who are you really trying to hurt and harm?
Mm-hmm.
It's not being inclusive. It's not adding diversity.
No.
You are taking a, you know, minority, and you're trying to make them feel uncomfortable.
Mm. Speaking of the atheist thing, I know you did some like research on it, and what you found, you tell me, it was so interesting about some of the studies on it.
Well, you know, we talk a lot about having a spiritual belief really helps to keep you strong. But I found it so interesting that there are so many studies to back it up. They've even done a study that says if you're already an atheist, but yet you just accept the love of God and you just mentally go, okay, I'm going to accept this love of this God, they were able to lessen their depression, lessen their anxiety, and they were able to have a happier life.
It's fascinating.
Even when they weren't completely believers, or they weren't believers, it still benefited them to believe that something loved them and to go ahead and tell themselves that. And so I wonder about, when we talk about evolution and things like that, I wonder, why would we evolve to need something like that?
Exactly.
Adaptation doesn't work that way. You adapt to your environment.
Yep.
You adapt to need certain things. And part of that includes the fact that, you know, we have to look at this. We have to go, okay, we've adapted to need spirituality. We've adapted to need God. And it really, even other religions, it's still a similar experience. The most depressed group of people are atheists.
Yes.
And this is time and time again, study after study after study. If science was the only answer, then science would have worked by now. Because we've had a good long run of 100 years of nothing but the pharmaceutical companies and the medications, and we don't ever look at anything from a spiritual perspective.
No.
It is considered so ridiculous to try to cure a disease from a spiritual respect. And then why are we having, you know, cancer rates that are going up?
Exactly.
Why is our mental health, all the rates of every kind of mental health, why are they skyrocketing?
Way worse, getting worse and worse.
Why is our suicide rate getting so high? Why is the depression and anxiety rate getting so high? Why do we have so many other mental illnesses? Like we have these, even like personality disorders, like narcissistic personality disorder, these kinds of things are getting so off the charts.
Yep.
Why would we suddenly be getting these kinds of things?
I think it's letting people just like letting that evil in, kind of talk about the genomic thing. It's just, if you're letting that in, it can take over somebody.
Yeah.
We have so many people, like now there's more like narcissist people everywhere. And you're saying that the entity, or what is it, the genomic, its name?
So one of the things, since we do always talk about how these ancient deities are linked to fallen angels and Nephilim and demons, and we really believe that, you can find so much proof of that. So narcissistic personality disorder is named after an ancient god whose name was Narcissus. And he fell in love with his own reflection and he was unable to love anyone else because he was so in love with himself. And there's a whole story if you wanted to look more into it. But I find it so strange that here's this personality disorder that's specifically named after this ancient deity.
What are the odds?
Yeah. And it's becoming so pervasive in society. And even if you're not diagnosed with the actual disorder, people are showing more and more and more signs of having it mm-hmm. in younger and younger generations.
Yes.
Which is the worst thing you can do because it's exactly the opposite of Christ. So Christ tells us two things. He tells us to love God with all of our hearts. Mm-hmm. And then he tells us to love one another as much as we love ourselves.
Yes.
Which is also a commandment to love ourselves.
True.
So those are the things that we should be doing. And yet this disorder prevents that. It lowers your empathy. It mm-hmm. lowers your ability to understand or care for others. And you only care for yourself. And you're in a very selfish lifestyle.
Yes. And I do feel like my last relationship, that is basically mm-hmm. how he was, because it's like he never really loved, looking back, he never was able to really love me mm-hmm. and he was never really able to love our children
yes.
at all. It was all about what can I get from this person or what can I get from them? What can better my life or what can basically take.
Yes.
And never giving like true love back. And I don't even know if really knew how.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how bad it was. Like if it was just very, you know, going through that so young too. It's like I married so young
yeah.
and got into that. And then my self-esteem tanked.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he would always tell me that I was just so this and so that, and I'm not going to get into all the name calling, but it's kind of like I don't really know how I survived that
mm-hmm.
other than God
yes.
protecting me in some way. And I also say that because it's like I can look back and there's little things, like even before I was in a church or even before I would really consider myself in a relationship with God. At that time, there was just little times in my life I did feel like God spoke to me mm-hmm. and would speak things to me. And it's like, it's weird, but I loved him. I wanted to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
I already had children with him. But it's, I knew at some point, it's like I knew I wasn't going to be with him anymore.
Yeah.
And I felt like God really spoke that to me. And the final thing that happened was I had my third child
mm-hmm.
and everybody, his family, my family, everybody was telling me I need to have my tubes tied.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, you know, you cannot have any more children with him because yeah. he was just basically ruining my life. And they're like, you cannot have any more children with him. This is horrible that you can't bring children into the world
yeah.
like this. And even the day I gave birth to my last child, and the doctor and the nurses actually asked me, they're like, are you in your tubes tied after this? And I was like, no, I'm not. But that is because I never shared with anybody else. But at that time, I really did feel like God told me, because I was thinking, is this something I need to do? And I felt like it was God. And he spoke mm-hmm. to me and said, don't get your tubes tied.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have another child and you're going to have a son
mm-hmm.
with somebody else. And it's weird to hear that and feel that yeah. and then think, no, I don't. What are you talking about? I'm mm-hmm. with him. I love him. I'm having a baby right now.
Yeah.
But it was just a weird feeling in this. So I didn't. And then years later, yeah. You know, well, we got divorced, but then years later, I got remarried and I did have
a son. Yes.
But it was so weird because it was like at that time, I would have never thought that. But little things like that, like if you're open to God, he will speak into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like you can get away from those kind of people, but it's not easy.
It's hard.
And sometimes you just have to position yourself and just pray and just really get yourself into a place where you get close to God.
Yes, it's notoriously hard to end a relationship with somebody that most likely had narcissistic personality disorder. Mm-hmm. There's a very good chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when you look at so many stories that people are going through, it's one of the worst types of abuse to recover from, because yes, your self-esteem is destroyed.
It is.
Because this person has to vilify you. Mm-hmm. They have to bully you. They have mm-hmm. to try to make you think that you're below them mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. Because deep down, they know that mm-hmm. that you're, you know, that they're not above somebody. I think it usually stems from like a deep-seated sort of fear, pain inside. Mm-hmm. But then my wonder is if it is in fact a demonic type of entity, something that kind of comes over them, or maybe even inside of them, because there are different levels of possession. You know, you mm-hmm. can have it outside or you can have it internal. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if it isn't that sort of ancient deity and their presence, and it takes that person on, and it mm-hmm. kind of, what would the devil do? If Jesus is running around spreading love, the devil would teach for you to spread hate.
Yes.
They would want you to bring someone down. If God wants you to rise, the devil and his demons want you to go down.
Yep.
And just, that's the experience most people have.
Yeah, just like self-hate, basically. I mean, mm-hmm. they'll make you have self-hate towards yourself.
Yes.
And that's very true, because like I said, we've talked about this before, but my self-esteem was horrible. I still struggle with stuff today, and it's kind of like I even took that into my new relationship too, like just the struggles in mm-hmm. in my mind and things, and yeah. just stuff I had to work through. But you know, it's just every day is a process, so you just have to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, when you encounter things like that, it does open your eyes. You don't see it in the when you're going through it sometimes, yeah. but then looking back, like, oh my gosh,
what like, point or how far into the relationship did you start to feel like something is not right or not healthy?
Oh gosh, honestly, very soon, but I didn't take any. I wasn't, you know, you see red flags, but mm-hmm. I wasn't listening. It's yeah. kind of like I was too young and immature, and it's kind of like, it's just, oh, I can help this person or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was actually really early on.
I think it usually is.
It's just, I waited. The thing is, I say I waited too long, but if I left when I initially thought I was going to leave, I wouldn't have had my youngest daughter.
Yeah.
And when I think about that, oh my gosh, I couldn't even imagine my life without her here. Because she's just brings so much joy.
Mm-hmm.
She's so positive. She's just like really, I mean, just a sunshine. Like,
she really is.
She yes, is. I mean, agree. People can say that about, I won't even say that about all my kids. Like, it's true. But it's like, I can't even imagine, like,
yeah.
that's why she's here. I mean, so, you know, we go through things, but initially, yeah. like, yeah, when I was going to leave and then I didn't, but then I had her. So it's yeah. kind of like, it's just meant to be.
The devil may try to cloud your life and fill it with clouds, but God will always be the sun that comes out shining.
Mm-hmm.
That's always the way I think that we have to look at it. And you can see it so much in life.
That's so true. But, yeah, I mean, and going back to the atheist thing, I just, you know, you were sending me some of the studies, and mm-hmm. it was just fascinating to me, because I was thinking, how are they, like, out of all religions, I'm not even talking about, like, Christianity yeah. or anything, I'm talking about out of all these different religions, what are the odds that, you know, they have all this spiritual, it's like a spiritual tie.
Mm-hmm.
But how are they not affected, but only the atheists are? You know
yes.
what I mean? It's like, how, I'm not saying it correctly, but it's kind of like, how is that possible? The only people that don't believe in something higher than themselves or mm-hmm. better or good is the people that have the majority of the issues.
The majority of these disorders. And a lot of people, I mean, I know that I used to think, and I used to go back and go, okay, is it what we're eating mm-hmm. that's causing so much depression? What about these school shooters? What's going on with them? And, you know, I would read different statistics. Oh, it's the guns. We have to control the guns. Oh, it's maybe it's the medicine. And you will find out that a lot of them have taken medications like SSRIs mm-hmm. and stuff. But then you'll find out that really a lot of people in general have taken those. Mm-hmm. And yes. take it one step deeper into that. Do we have a mental problem or a spiritual problem? Just to yes. dig it one step deeper. 84% of school shooters are atheists. 84%
wow.
of the children that do this. And when you think about the actual population in America, about 7% are atheist. So to go from about 7% of atheist in general, and then 84% are doing the school shootings, that's a mass overrepresentation right there. And if you don't think that that has a link, then I can't trust anything else you say about science, because science is made up of numbers and statistics and exactly. studies. And so if you can't understand that that has a massive link right mm-hmm. now, then we have no conversation to be had. Mm-hmm. That's a huge, huge part of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to deal with I'm not saying that there aren't physical problems. There are problems of the body. There are problems of the mind. There are things mm-hmm. that you're just born with. Totally, totally agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But we are trying to solve every problem from a medication, counseling, just kind of standpoint that is not going to work completely. And when we looked at things in a more individual way mm-hmm. and we understood that some things are spiritual problems and some things are of the body, some things, mm-hmm. you know, need herbs, some things need this, some things need medicine, some things need surgery. It worked a lot better. And yep. so if it was purely just medicine and this and that, then we wouldn't be having these escalating rates of problems.
No, definitely not. And I think that's what it comes down to. It's like, if they are less happy mm-hmm. atheists, they yes. don't live as long. Like people that have faith or some kind of faith in something, you know, some higher calling or spiritual realm, they do live longer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, so what is it? I mean, the scientists, they're not, of course, they don't. Well, you did research and you were saying that the majority of scientists and professors they're not atheists.
That's the weirdest part to me, is that we've always been under this assumption that scientists are atheists. Mm-hmm. All of the professors are atheists. Everybody that has an education is an atheist. And I think it really is, again, just a distraction to kind of mess with your mind.
Yes.
And make you think that this is the smarter people think this.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of professors polled at the, you know, the bigger, better universities, they are not atheists. They do believe in God. They do have spiritual beliefs. And the majority of the scientists, overall, they do believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a really important thing to know when you're dealing with this kind of stuff. And being an atheist is not tied to having a higher education. It's not.
No.
In fact, many of the people, or most of the people, that have achieved higher education levels are actually still Christians or believe in God or have different, you know, mm-hmm. spiritual beliefs. So it's really important to remember that these things that are sometimes told to us are not true.
I know. When you told me, I was like, whoa, mm-hmm. that was fascinating. Because, you know, like I said, most of the time you hear those things and I think it's just them trying to cloud our view or make us feel like, oh, they're so dumb because they believe in spirits or spiritual mm-hmm. realm or God or something you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, you can't, I mean, there you go. That's just another proof that they just want to down anything to do with God or faith or spirituality, because they know it gives us power. Yeah. They know we can have our own power. And they're just going to dumb it. They want us to feel like we're dumb. We don't know what we're doing. We don't, you know.
Yeah.
So, it for me, it's like, I was talking to you about, like, that old saying. It's like, because we've talked about manifestation. And I just heard something so good. But it was like, you know, the old saying is, like, I'll believe it when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
But really, like, with faith, we'll see it when we believe it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, for me, that goes again with the manifestation thing.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes again with every, you know, that old saying goes against everything. Like, that's what's wrong with us.
Yeah.
They ingrained us. They ingrained that in us.
Yes.
Oh, I'll believe it when I see it. You know, everybody will say that. But no,
yes.
You should not be saying that. You should not be saying that at all.
Yes.
You should just say, I'm going to see it because I believe it. And then it will, you know, come out. But I think it's, I Googled that because I was like, who came up with that? But everything I could find was like Thomas in the Bible. He's the only one. He's like, I want to see these holes. I want to see this and stuff like that.
Doubting Thomas.
And then Jesus said, you know, people that believe, you know, they're going to be blessed. The people that actually believe without seeing.
Yeah. Blessed are those who believe without seeing.
Exactly.
So that's so important for us to think about. And that goes along the lines of the law of attraction. Like you said, mm-hmm. like we always talk about, it all really fits together.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have to learn to develop that faith and we are programmed. And you have to understand that. Like, we're programmed from moment one to believe what we're shown. So believe what you see on TV. believe what the book says that's put in front of your face ever since you're a child. And everything is a coincidence. Nothing has any meaning. Don't dig any deeper. And, you know, any other time in history, if people came out talking about the Olympics and said, oh, no, you got this wrong. This is just the Feast of the Gods. I think any other time in history before the spiritual awakening, people would have been like, all right. Most people. Oh, I misunderstood. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But people aren't like that anymore.
No.
We've passed a threshold. I think the veil is thinned.
The veil has been removed.
Yes.
Actually, my pastor said on Sunday, he's like, oh, this is a veil. It's been, we're going to be seeing stuff.
Yes, you're going to see it, and they're not going to be able to trick you anymore and tell you that this is just a coincidence. This is just, don't worry, you got this all wrong. Let me explain it for you.
Don't explain anything to me.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And you know what that bigger part is? It's trusting your gut, which is really the root of faith.
Yes.
Trust your gut.
Yes.
Trust your instincts.
Mm-hmm.
There's where your faith will grow and develop from.
Yes, exactly.
So, but I mean, we were talking to again about about demons,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking about how to rid yourself of demons.
Yes.
If you do think that you're having some kind of demonic activity in your life. And again, like one of those things that I would recommend is cleansing the home with holy water. And I've done that before. I've seen that work.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing I've seen work is just telling the entity to leave.
Yes.
And I have an experience with that too. And years ago, my husband has a very, very, very old car that people used to talk about that they would have weird experiences or like supernatural experiences. And one time my husband and I went inside the vehicle and we had the phone recording and I told something to leave. I told this entity, I said, you have to leave now. And we didn't hear anything. We went back inside and when we replayed the videotape, you can very clearly and distinctly hear a voice. I think you heard it.
I heard it. Everybody heard it. In the family. They're like freaking out.
Yes, yes. And it literally, in response to me saying, you have to leave, there's a voice that says, I'm leaving. Just very weird. It says, I'm leaving. It was so creepy to hear it.
Oh, I know.
But it happened.
But hey, like it said, like they say, Jesus said, like, the devil might have power, but we have power and authority. That's scripture based. That's in the word.
Yes. God gave Adam dominion over the animals. And he allowed him to name all the animals. And he said that we have dominion over the beast. And the things that walk this earth,
they're beast.
The things that walk in the shadows of this earth, yep, that's what they are. They're a type of beast.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really listen to like Jesus and what he's saying too, he is always saying that you have authority,
yes,
over these things. And mm-hmm. I was reading this report, but I thought it was so strange. I was reading it online and it was talking about how preachers for some reason are having such difficulty removing demons.
Really?
Just, I don't know why. I have no idea why, but these priests are having such difficulty. They said it's taking sometimes years to rid people of demons. And these, whoa, are like the official reports that are being taken. But here's my feeling on that. I don't like the sound of that.
No.
but the bigger thing is, I don't understand why there is this problem, why it would be taking so long. Because I feel like that's maybe, if you're having that kind of difficulty, that doesn't really go in line with what Jesus said.
Yes, no, would not.
Mm-mm. And it's not any experience I've ever had.
Yes.
So I'm just wondering if maybe in those circumstances, if it's hanging out for a long time, I think it's time to find a new priest.
I agree with that one. I wouldn't be waiting that long.
And you don't even have to have a priest. That's my feeling. You don't have to have a priest. You don't. And it doesn't really need to take a long time.
Jesus never said we needed a priest.
No.
No, we don't. No. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. Because that's just the religious, you know, what mm-hmm. they want you to think. Just, you know, laws and stuff. No.
No. Mm-mm. You can banish this. And there was even like a short little prayer that I found, but I'm going to have you read it.
You want me to read it? Oh, yes. Yay. Okay.
I love the way she prays.
Okay. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that every demon, every evil spirit, every evil spoken word against us and our family be destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
But it's such a mm-hmm. simple prayer that I found that's older. But I thought, that's what we really need sometimes. Mm-hmm. Jesus really taught us very simple prayers. Mm-hmm. And he said, like, we don't need to go on and on and on. He specifically says that. Yeah, he said that
exactly. And simple.
Yeah. And when he teaches, they say, how do we pray? He teaches the Lord's Prayer. And that's such a simple prayer. Like, my kids had that memorized by the time they're like 6, 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful prayer, I think, for cleansing your home. Mm-hmm. And I think it has multiple meanings. Like when he's talking about your bread for the day, I think it's not just bread. I think he's talking about your nourishment, yes, your spiritual nourishment.
Too. And yes, so definitely.
I just think it's a very, very powerful prayer. So I always recommend saying the mm-hmm. Lord's Prayer too.
Yes.
And as far as like if you're feeling like you're having any attacks from demons, mm-hmm. there are ways to get rid of them. And listen, if you're feeling like you're having an attack with mental illness, depression, mm-hmm. those kinds of things, yes, see a doctor. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Try medicine. Yes, try counts. All of those things are very useful in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be afraid to be open-minded and to seek out a spiritual remedy, yes, also.
I agree.
What does it hurt?
It doesn't. And like you were talking about the bread, Jesus is the bread of life. There's, yes, a scripture that says that. So mm-hmm. we really do have to just remember that and, yes, just hold tight to that.